Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Anthony Herron.
All we gotta do is do our job and punch him in the mouth every single play.
Bears Monday with Big Ant.
One of the offensive linemen from Indiana just starts like kind of ramming my face in the ground, basically in the midst of a pile of bodies. And, you know, in his mind, like, nobody's gonna see me doing this. All right, I'm gonna get away with this a little bit. So I, with my dexterity that I have and the flexibility, I rear back while my face is in the ground, and I just kick him in the chest. So all the officials see is a big Hoosier body flying backwards, and my foot being the reason why.
He gave me some kind of Bruce Lee cross kick or something.
I kicked
Sirius XM and Fox 32 football analysts.
They have no idea what goaded me into doing that. So I end up getting ejected from the game because I kicked this dude in the chest and he goes flying.
Now that you mention it, I think I'm bleeding inside my chest.
Anthony Herron and Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
I thought our first open that we ever did for Anthony Herron was good. I think this one is even better. Anthony Herron joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is 500 new and used vehicles to choose from out in Melrose Park, or you can just go to alpamonteford.com. He does everything when it comes to football in our business, which is why I wanted to talk to him, even though the Bears didn't play. I want to spend a little time talking college football with you, Big Ant, but I just wanted to run past you what happened with me last night. I see the Raiders go down the field at the end of the game. I'm like, man, you know, Derek Carr's played really good ball so far this year. They score, and I go, ooh, you left him too much time. And I literally walked away from the TV because I knew what was getting ready to happen. And I love that about Patrick Mahomes. If you leave too much time, he's going right down the field, and he doesn't have any Fs to give about you, your feelings, or your defense.
He's special. He is legit as special as any quarterback talent we've ever seen. And consistency is a really hard thing to achieve at that level. And not just, you know, consistency of playing at the elite of the elite level. Like Aaron Rodgers was joking about it a couple of weeks back, where last season was viewed as this down year for him, where most quarterbacks would view that as a career year. And to be that consistent at that level is just otherworldly. Like, no one sees that. But even just to be at a consistent level of excellence, just to consistently be mentally locked in and game out, season in and season out. That's why, like me and golf, you know, we would have debates about it a lot, because after that first year that Mahomes was a starter, I'm like, all right, dude had a great year. Let me see it for another season, because we do frequently see even immense physical talents like a Lamar Jackson right now taking a bit of a step back, still kind of figuring out the league at this level, what his skills really allow him to be able to achieve and how the system fits him and all those things. It's really hard to be that good at that level season after season. You see folks who aren't as locked in mentally. You see coaching staffs adjust. You see defenses adjust to them. You see their play caller perhaps not being on his game. Whatever it is, it's hard to be that good over year over year over and over again. And so I couldn't be more impressed with how with how Mahomes is operating, with the ascension we continue to see from Russell Wilson over and over again, man. When you see it for a year, it's one thing, but folks don't appreciate how one game does not guarantee you anything the following game. One season, look at Carson Wentz, does not guarantee you anything the following season. It is hard to get to the top. It is even harder to stay at the top.
All right, now I want to get into your conference, the Big Ten. You know a lot about this conference. Let me start with Northwestern. Here they are, 5-0, and if I'm looking at the schedule, I could very much see them being 8-0 and playing in the Big Ten title game. They're boring. They're not a lot of fun to watch, but that doesn't matter. What matters is right. You win. I want to know what has made them so good defensively, and the more you read about Mike Hankwitz and like how much respect people have for him and realizing, oh, yeah, we're just going to do this cover three thing at the beginning of the game, and good luck. You're going to have to try to march down the field on us, and eventually you're going to make a mistake, and then we'll capitalize on that mistake. It's boring but effective football that they play.
And what's a little different about them this year than what we might think of as sort of the standard issue Northwestern football product is that they've legitimately got more what you might just in football parlance consider dudes. They got more dudes on the field this year than they normally do. And so schematically, Hankwitz is able to stay in a similar mind frame. And he certainly isn't going to be, from a percentage standpoint, a guy who blitzes you that much. But what I was struck by calling their Purdue game a couple of weeks back is that like someone like Ekwu Liotta, who comes off the edge for them, he consistently sprints down running backs from behind and just chases them, is able to get to them before they can turn a corner, before they can even crease the defense trying to head north and south. He's very swift. They got a guy like Ernest Brown on the opposing edge in a lot of their packages, where he can not only hit blocks up front, but is a fairly skilled pass rusher, and he's kind of emerged throughout his career more and more as he stayed healthy. They always hold it down at linebacker. They're not necessarily special from an athletic perspective at linebacker, but they played a really high level there. And linebacker, they're probably more what you would think of as standard issue Northwestern, but then you get to the back end. So they're beefy in the middle up front, and they're swift off the edge. And Hankwitz will blitz you more frequently than folks would necessarily anticipate for the way they operate this season. Then once you get to the secondary, man, like Greg Newsom is playing himself into the first round at corner. He was out there against David Bell from Purdue a couple of weeks ago, and mostly on vertical routes. Like, David Bell had some success on in-breaking routes and outcuts, but trying to go vertical, Newsom had him on lock. We saw him the other day against Wisconsin. Break on the route, come back downhill, get a big interception in that game. They have legitimate athletes on the back end as well. And so where Fitz and his squad, and they put some stuff on social media, and, you know, where Joey Galloway had some comments basically saying that they're just kind of the Northwestern, you always know, a bunch of Reese Davises out there. That's really not who this team is, man. Even when you look at the offense, while it's not explosive by comparison to an Ohio State or even a Purdue per se with the personnel that's there, but they're very particular talents that they have who can do big things, who can be electric in the open field in a way that we don't necessarily think of Northwestern having.
There's part of me that feels like they would be able to hang with Ohio State for a half. Like, I think defensively they'd be able to hang with them for a half. And then that offense is just too explosive, which leads me to the next thing I want to talk to you about. Did we find out more about Indiana or Ohio State on Saturday?
I think the nation probably found out more about Indiana. In watching Indiana this season and in studying them the last couple of years, really, where Michael Penix Jr., I felt like coming into the year, if he stayed healthy, he was going to emerge as the second-best quarterback in the Big Ten, which he has. And then by comparison, what they had with the weaponry on the outside, like we kind of knew about Wap Filliers, real name Mr. Elias D'Angelo Fillier. We didn't know as much about Ty Freifogel, but I was telling folks about him last week on the Big Ten Network. Watch him, because he's been lighting it up, and he can do it in a whole bunch of ways, and he can defeat man coverage. And conversely, Ohio State, for as much as folks want to hate on Michigan giving up the explosive pass play, Ohio State gave up as many explosive pass plays per game coming into the weekend, not even just looking at what Indiana did to them. So there were things that I could see that Indiana would have the potential to exploit with the talent offensively. That Hoosier defense, though, and Tom Allen, their head coach, is a defensive guy. He's got a coordinator in Kane Womack, who he gave them the reins defensively a couple of seasons ago, and they attack. They blitz you. They have movement up front. And we haven't seen Justin Fields under physical duress in games very much in his time as a starter. He gets to hold the ball, pat the ball in the pocket, and he's very accurate on intermediate and vertical routes because he can stand there and just stare it down. Now, when you get him under heat, that's where we have to see his development. It's the same thing that happened with Trevor Lawrence in the national championship game last year, whereas by comparison, the older, more experienced Joe Burrow, very decisive, very quick, very accurate, can kind of stay in a throwing temperament on the move. Trevor Lawrence, we saw a little bit of a difference there where he had some room to grow. I think right now Justin Fields, after that game, that's his first time to really study up the film and say, you know what, here's how I need to improve when I'm forced to make quick decisions. So I think I wasn't as shocked by what I saw from Indiana because I felt like they had the personnel and the scheme to give Ohio State some fits. I think more so just whether or not Ohio State has that curveball that they can throw at you, or can they hit the curveball from an opponent who can pressure them? I think that's one thing I was looking at more closely, and in evaluating Ohio State in the national championship picture, they will face opponents who can force them to speed up their process offensively.
Big Ann Heron joining me here. We ordinarily talk Bears, and I think I have one Bears question for him, but there's one more college thing I want to talk about. It's since been deleted, but the University of Illinois threw some shade at Nebraska's football program, and I'm here for it. Like, I'm Petty LaBelle. Like, I'm here for them. And they earned it. I mean, they kicked their ass. So I'm like, I'm here right for them doing that. What it made me think about, though, and I want to get your opinion on it, it seems as if the other teams in the Big Ten are like, so you're not happy to be here? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to let you continue to know that this is the Big Ten, and you're not Nebraska of the 90s anymore. And I know they took it down, but I applaud the University of Illinois and their level of petty on putting it up. What do you take away from this?
I mean, I got a kick out of it. I personally enjoyed it too. You know, I think there's a level of, I suppose, respect or deference that Illinois was willing to pay by taking the tweet down. Basically, you know, tongue-in-cheek perhaps, thanking Nebraska for bringing back the football season and now take this L is essentially what the tweet indicated. And I got a kick out of it. There's been a lot of social media posts, like Minnesota having a down season this year. Every time somebody beats the Gophers, there's some tweet about the boat got rowed or something like that where somebody's coming to TJ Flex. So, I mean, I get it. And that's really what Twitter is about. And I think it can be and should be taken in good fun as long as you're not, you know, calling somebody outside their name or going, you know, crossing certain lines. But for the Illini, what I tried to advise Herb about a few weeks ago and a lot of Illinois fans were that they had literally dozens of people who weren't able to play in the games early in the season. And they were still making plays. They were still hanging in there. Then you get, you're not starting your fourth string quarterback anymore, so you got your guys behind center. You got an offensive line that's now healthy again. You got Kendrick Green. I put on Big Ants Brute Squad that we do on the Big Ten Network. I put that on Twitter. You got one of the top offensive linemen in the conference and a quality offensive line at large with some depth at running back and a defense. And Jake Hansen, I know, you know, maybe a lot of listeners right here in Chicago haven't watched him as much, but he's such a spectacular linebacker. He's a Lovey Smith linebacker, man. Just every time there's someone near him, he's punching the football out. He's near it, trying to get interceptions, and he's really stellar against the run also. So you've got that sort of quintessential Lovey D that takes the ball away, gives his offense extra possessions. And they had so many transfers in from other schools and other spots. You got receivers who were like 4- and 5-star recruits that couldn't get on the field at USC, receivers, tight ends, you name it, that they're there now. Got guys on defense, guys at tight end. There's legit physical talent all around the field for the Illini. If they can stay healthy and put this together, then I think we're getting a look now at how far along in the development they have finally gotten under Lovey Smith's watch there. It's just, you know, I think we get conditioned to just assuming Illinois, Rutgers, they lose a game, it's because they're still terrible. They're really not. They don't have the competitive depth that some programs have to just put your fourth-string quarterback on the field and be fine. But overall, man, we're seeing a program that has grown based off the results of last season. And now that they have all their bullets ready in the holster, now a team that can field a competitive product. They ain't going to do nothing against Ohio State this week, but it's a much better Illini team.
If I was to ask you to draw up a game plan to beat the Packers for the Bears, on Sunday? What would be the ingredients of that game plan?
I mean, if you can force Aaron Rodgers to consistently, he will be willing to consistently throw the ball into traffic. And I think that for the Bears defensive backs, for Kyle Fuller, for Jalen Johnson, you know, like where Johnson hasn't necessarily had takeaways per se, but his tackling has improved. And so as long as you can come up and consistently tackle Green Bay's pass catchers, and then maybe as you condense coverage, get Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball into tight, condensed windows. We're seeing now there it's looking like the Bears are starting to round into that takeaway form just a bit more, just with the attitude their defense attacks things with. That's why I think the bye week came at a good time, because I think that the Bears, and their defense is good every week, but they attacked that game against Minnesota in a way where they were just saying, regardless of what the offense does, we're going to will this team to victory. The special team steps in trying to will that team to victory, and they were playing with that extra heartbeat, and it still wasn't enough. See Danny Trevathan chasing the ball from behind, punching it out. See defensive backs all over the place, laying the wood. You see everyone swarming around Dalvin Cook. And so to not come up with a win when you're playing that hard, that fast, that much urgency and aggression, yeah, I think having a week away from things to sort of digest it, to, as Eddie Jackson breaks things down, say, hey, offense, we got your back. It's one thing to say it right there in the moment, but then when you have to sort of recharge and re-energize and be ready for the following game right away, maybe it's hard to get back up for that next one. I think the bye week came at a good time for the Bears, and they will, I believe, have themselves ready for Sunday night defensively to get that pass rush humming against Rodgers, and as they try to quicken his process. And I don't think it requires blitzing to do it. I think you find some timely blitzes. Roquan has been spectacular in every way the Bears have used him. Add him to the pass rush in key moments. But overall, play some coverage and see if you can get him to throw into tight windows and force those receivers to make contested grabs.
Big Ann, as always, I appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Loho. Talk to you soon.
That is Big Ant Heron. He's one of our football experts here on The Score. It's good to talk a little bit of college with him. This just in, Joe Burrow, we all kind of thought that this was the deal, but it's official now. Torn ACL and MCL in his left knee. He is out for the rest of the season. We're going to take a break. We got a press conference that's coming up too. Jed Hoyer is going to speak at 1:30. We will carry that for you here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Score. Cubs president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, is going to have an introductory press conference for his new role. He's been with the Cubs for forever. Coming up in a little bit, and we're going to take you to it when it becomes available. When we were talking about colleges, whether it was me and Dan or me just talking with you about it, here's where I'm at. Just so you know, like, one of the things that I'm passionate about people not being in debt for education. Like, I'm passionate about that. And it's one of the reasons why I think that whether you go to COD or Oakton or Kennedy King, like, Kennedy King has an incredible, like, broadcasting program, for example. You can get an education, and the teachers care just as much as they do at the university level. I just don't want anyone to have to go in debt for education. And it's something to keep in mind when you're making your decisions about higher education. Not everyone needs it to be successful. There are also really great trade schools and programs that one can be a part of. But if college is something that you're not even sure that your little one is interested in, it might not be a bad idea to go the JC route until they figure out exactly what it is they want to do. And they might have better perspective on where they want to go to college after that, too. It's a thought from me to you. Jed Hoyer's press conference coming up next here on The Score. The Cubs are introducing Jed Hoyer as their new president of baseball operations. He has agreed to a new contract to stay through 2025. We take you to Tom Ricketts right now.
When he set about to build that great team off the field, the first person he wanted was Jed Hoyer. Jed was then the general manager of the San Diego Padres and had some success in San Diego. But Jed and Theo got together and started to build an organization that truly achieved sustained success and ultimately led us to many playoff victories, including the World Series. I think we said the words Jed and Theo so much it almost became one word, just Jed and Theo. And over those years, I got to know Jed very, very well. I know Jed's an extremely smart, hardworking, very talented baseball executive. I think that the league would concur. I don't know that anyone in the history of baseball has turned down more jobs or job interviews than Jed Hoyer has over the past several years. So in addition to being loyal and being very successful, I think, Jed also brings the experience of working very hard on the redesign of our player development organization over the past couple years, a redesign that gives me confidence that we're very well positioned for the future. And, it really is a true luxury for a team to be able to promote from within for a number one job like this. It allows us to bring Jed from the number two role to the number one role, which gives us continuity and new leadership all at once. So I'm very excited today to introduce the proverbial person who needs no introduction whatsoever. But with that, I will turn it over to our new president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom. I feel like we should shake hands right now, but I appreciate it. Thanks for the kind words. I want to start out by saying a few words about Theo. I tried to think of the best way to summarize our relationship. And, frankly, I really struggled to, wrap 17 years in two cities into a few succinct lines. I realized that those flashbulb moments, the LCSs and the World Series and the parades, those are just a few days of the thousands of days that we work together. So I started thinking about how we interact on a day-to-day basis. And the simplest way I think you can describe our relationship is that we actually designed our office space to have more time together. We were really fortunate with Sloan Park and with the office building here at Wrigley that we were able to design our offices. And what we did is we had sliding walls on both sides and then a small sitting room in between us so that we could basically yell back and forth and talk throughout the day without ever leaving our chairs. I will miss the ease and the trust and the shared history of that dialogue. I'll miss the arguments about players. I'll miss reliving painful losses from 03 or draft mistakes from 2006. We never, ever seem to talk about any of the good moments. I'll miss the daily wagers that never get paid off. I'll miss hearing about your latest 47-yard field goal attempt. I'll miss the random mid-80s references to the Patriots or early 90s to the Celtics. I don't know what my life is going to be like without anyone comparing players to Mosey Tatupu or A.C. Earl. I'll miss calling you Al Davis once a week when you walk in the office in a sweatsuit. I'll miss all the laughs, almost all at my expense, as you guys know oh too well. I'll miss shutting those sliding walls whenever Theo plays one of his two songs on the guitar. I could go on and on, but the truth is that I will miss all of it. It's been a wonderful run, three rings, two curses broken, and one lifelong friendship. My friend, I can never, ever thank you enough. It's been amazing. I want to thank Tom, Laura, Todd, and Pete Ricketts for their support throughout the last 9 years and for entrusting me with this great responsibility. It's been a pleasure watching them deliver on exactly the promises they told us about at dinner 9 years ago, about the team, about the ballpark, and about the neighborhood. I look forward to learning from you, and I look forward to partnering with you guys to continue to build a culture of excellence to make your family proud. Speaking of families, I want to say I love you to my wife, Meryl, and my three sons, Beckett, Gray, and Archer. I always imagined in a non-COVID world that I would have shaken Tom's hand, and I imagined that my sons and my wife would be here at this press conference, but they can't be here, and I'm sorry about that. But I hope Mom lets you off the school Zoom call for a few minutes so you can watch your dad. I couldn't be more proud of you guys. And to my grandmother, Eva, 102 years old and probably watching somewhere in Manhattan, to my parents, Bob and Annie, and my sister, Suzanne, I love you guys so much, and I thank you for encouraging me to play and watch this game that I'm so obsessed with. Meryl and I moved to Chicago 9 years ago, and at the time, it was just the two of us and a young dog moving to a city where we only knew Theo and my great friend, Jason McLeod. Now, 9 years later, we have those three sons and we have an old dog, but now this city is home to all of us. We've grown to love this city, this fan base, this magical ballpark, and all of our friends here. As Tom mentioned, there's been many opportunities to leave over the past 5 years, but this has always been my goal. This has always been our family's goal. This is Chicago. This is the Cubs, and this is Wrigley Field. The grass is definitely not greener anywhere else, and I'm so glad that we chose to stay. Over the past 9 years, with some terrific holdovers from the Hendry years and a ton of new hires, we transformed this organization's culture and identity and gave birth to the Cubs way. So many employees, some whose names you know, others who you do not, have devoted themselves to this cause. By naming me president and by having that continuity of leadership, it allows that culture to continue. And it's also an acknowledgement of those employees and their hard work and their loyalty and their success. What continuity is not, however, is a desire to maintain the status quo. No matter the success you've had in the past, no matter the success you're having right now, organizations must constantly push to think differently. There's always new technologies, new training methods, and new ways to measure performance. I promise you that with me in this role, we will continue to push, we will continue to evolve, and we will continue to advance. That relentless drive is what I promise every Cubs fan every day. One of my favorite aspects of this job is that there's always a new and different challenge. The players change, the financial realities change, the rules of the game change, the team building strategies change. We faced a fascinating challenge when we got here 9 years ago. Then, after building up the farm system, we faced another challenge to go from rebuilding to contention. And now we face a new challenge imposed by the reality of our player service time and the realities of our world in 2020. As with all the challenges we have faced here, we will study them, we will use our collective experience, and then we will move boldly to do what is in the best interest of the franchise. I look forward to leading those efforts with a terrific manager in David Ross, an excellent coaching staff, a group of players that changed Cubs baseball forever and forever changed our expectations, and a great group of employees who make me better every single day. I'm so excited to lead this group, and I'm really excited to get to work. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom and Jed. We can open up to questions now.
Jed, congratulations, and look forward to working with you another 20 or 30 years, you know.
Thank you, Bruce.
Something like that. You brought it up, so let's start with the core four and Kimbrel. How do you approach this? How difficult a situation is this? And how much is this a jumping off point for you being able to do other things this offseason?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I would start by saying that, you know, we have a great team. You know, we have a team that won the division last year. Obviously, the playoffs have not gone as we hoped, you know, in two of the last 3 years. But ultimately, the goal every year is to give ourselves a chance, and that's not going to change. I think in this job, you always have, you know, one eye on the present and one eye on the future. And I think the truth is that, you know, given the service time realities that I mentioned, I think that eye might be a little bit more focused towards the future than usual. But that doesn't take away from the goal. And like I said, the goal is always to make the playoffs and give this organization a chance to go deep in October.
You're listening to Jed Hoyer's introductory press conference here on the Score.
With that sliding door, who's coming on the other side for you as far as your general manager?
That's a great question. You know, first of all, we have a lot of great employees here. People that have been working extra hard, you know, during the last month and during this transition. And so we'll probably have an announcement over the next couple of days about some promotions internally. But that said, I really do value fresh ideas and new ideas. I think that's important. As I mentioned, continuity is a wonderful thing. But I think sometimes, you know, bringing some people in from the outside can really benefit. So, you know, I will be doing a search for the general manager. Exactly when that's going to be, I don't know. The truth is onboarding and bringing a person into a new culture is probably a little bit more difficult right now than normal. So I'll keep that in mind, but I will be running a search, and I'll keep you guys updated as I do that.
Jed, on the topic of continuity, something that Tom has brought up as well, what does that mean to you, and why do you feel that it's so important with the front office to have the continuity moving forward?
Yeah. Well, I think I mentioned, you know, I think we have a lot of great employees here. We've worked very hard over the last 9 years to, you know, continue to advance and to continue to be cutting edge with everything we do. I think every time you have a leadership change, you naturally take a pretty big step backwards. There's going to be a lot of new employees and new ideas, and you know, given our success and given the talent of our front office, I don't think that's necessary right now. I think, you know, like I said, some fresh ideas in a targeted way makes sense, but kind of full-scale changes to something that's been as successful as this doesn't seem like the right thing, and I'm glad Tom felt the same way.
Jed, back to kind of the challenges of this offseason, you know, I'll just ask it straight up. What are the chances Bryant's on this roster opening day? I mean, he's kind of the highest priced guy among that core. And then I know there was some talk last year about this, but is it possible that there's any potential extension talks in play for anybody?
Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, you know, without, you know, specifying Chris, you know, we have a lot of great players on this roster. We have some guys that had great years last year, and, you know, we have some guys that had down years, but I certainly wouldn't speculate about the future of any one guy at this point. As far as the extension talks, we have none ongoing right now. You know, but certainly we have players on this roster that we'd love to have here for a long time. So at some point in the future, I think we'll probably pick those up. But right now there's nothing ongoing.
Just a follow-up to that. Is that something that just because of the nature of this offseason and all the uncertainty might wait until beyond this offseason? Or is it possible to consider some of those types of things within this uncertainty?
Yeah, I think with this offseason, there is a lot of uncertainty. I think it's going to probably move a little bit slower than some offseason. So I think we may try to get a sense of the landscape, I guess, before we move forward. But, certainly – we're not gonna wait, forever, but I do think waiting a little bit and trying to figure out exactly what happens this winter makes a lot of sense.
Hey, Jed, back to your development. I don't know if you feel like you get lumped in with like the Ivy League guys, but I mean, you played at a pretty competitive level, at least higher than your predecessor, that's for sure. How has that informed you over the years? You kind of have had a hand in everything, including having that uniform on and including coaching, I think, a little bit at the collegiate level.
Yeah, I always joke that, once you're around a bunch of big leaguers, your own playing career becomes mildly embarrassing and you don't talk about it too much. But I think it definitely served me well. I pitched and I played shortstop. And so I feel like that sort of helped me think about both sides of the game. The few years I coached in college definitely helped me from a strategy standpoint. I wouldn't give up those years for anything. Physically, I certainly wasn't anywhere close to as gifted as these guys, but it doesn't mean I wasn't, loving the game and paying attention to the game while that was happening. And I definitely think that's helped me, in my development for sure.
Jed, back to kind of shaping the roster, Theo kept referring to it over the past couple of years as trying to thread the needle. I'm kind of curious how you view this challenge, and just, you kind of said you have a eye towards the future. What do you expect for 2021 as far as being competitive?
Yeah. Well, I think that phrasing, I think, is really accurate. I think we know that, we've had an excellent team for 6 years, but with that run and the inability to get extensions on our guys, I think there come some realities. And so, we do have to keep an eye on the future, but given the talent on the roster and given the fact that we were able to win the division despite some underperformance, I think the goal still has to be, to win the division. But yes, I do think we have to look at the pipeline. I'm really proud of the stuff we've done in scouting player development. I think that, certainly the lower levels of our minor leagues are really improving rapidly. But to continue to build that pipeline is something that's going to be critically important for the next few years.
That is Jed Hoyer in his introductory press conference as the new president of baseball operations for the Cubs. It's interesting, seeing some of the reactions from people, because Jed's great in his own right, but he's not Theo, and it's a difference. It's like you have to pick up on a different cadence. You have to pick up on a different instruction. It's I'm happy for him, because now he gets to the running joke for all of us was that we would go to these beginning of the year press conferences at Sloan Park, and there'd be Joe Maddon, there'd be Theo Epstein, and there'd be Jed Hoyer, and Jed would get no questions, none, even though he's been the general manager of the Cubs for the last 9 years. Well, now he gets to step into the breach. He gets to be president of baseball operations, and he's going to get a 5-year contract extension out of it. And I'm glad for him that length is that long, because I think the Cubs are in some transition right now. And I don't mean just Theo to Jed being in charge of the franchise. There's a lot of challenges that are in front of them as an organization, and it's going to take some reimagining of how to do things now. Some real reimagining on how this is supposed to work with the new economics of baseball in 2020 and beyond. They've got big decisions to make. Even last week, there was some talk of perhaps the Nationals wanting to finally replace the production from Anthony Rendon. And with Chris Bryant being in the last year of his deal, they might have an opportunity to do that now. So maybe you make that trade and you start to bust up what has been the core of the Cubs. I honestly, this is one of those days where I wish I had more time, because I had written down today, one of the topics that I wanted to talk about was your feelings about the Cubs from here on out and how different things are going to be. So there'll be some time in tomorrow's show to discuss that a little bit more thoroughly. I don't think that it's going to be severe. Like, I don't expect that it's a stripped down version of the Cubs, although I guess it could be. But I do think that this is going to be a year of transition for not just the Cubs as an organization, but the fan base as well, where you have to go, okay, some of my favorite players, some of the players that brought championships, like, they're gone because of economic reasons. It's a new reality that they're dealing with, and now Jed is going to be the guy that has to shepherd you through it. I'm going to talk with Spiegel and Guff, not Goff, Guff, next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.